And so I considered striking out on my own, always thinking of Rose. There she was, maddeningly shaped in a woolen bathing suit at the public swimming pool, swinging vigorous laps and knocking into the other swimmers because she had no goggles. Or glimpsed between the trees in the Luxembourg Gardens, in a beret with a basket full of artichokes on her arm, and a little boy who held her free hand and waited patiently to ride a mangy pony. Nonetheless, those days of looking for everything that was not there became more and more unreal. Then it was a sunless Sunday that belonged in February. I would find Rose, I decided, at Saint-Sulpice. Before the war, gloomy days sent her to that church and its frescoes. I rode the metro from Saint-Paul, changed trains in the human jungle of Châtelet, and emerged 2 blocks from the church's plaza just as it began to rain. I entered the sanctuary's damp hush. Saint-Sulpice was a good church for a Jew. The Delacroix was just inside, on the right, built into the first crook of it, with a mural on either wall of the nave and a small lectern in between, explaining the paintings and their significance as if one were in a museum. I told myself that if I stood in front of Delacroix's Jacob wrestling with the angel long enough, Rose would appear. I had learned the painting very well. Perhaps due to my state of mind, upon my return to the Delacroix in May of 1945, I thought, this is a very erotic picture, and was confused by the androgyny of the angel, its purple flowing robes, and the pose of the figures that, at first glance, was as much about waltzing as wrestling. No lady angel, though, in the history of painting, has such sinewy thighs or shoulders. I loved the white-blue flash of Jacob's garb and the effort and tenderness of his bowed head. He is muscle and strain, and his body gives the painting its movement, its crossed lines and limbs. The jab of his knee makes the angel's hem ripple like water. The angel's hands grip and grasp, the fateful touch on the thigh, but his celestial body shows no motion. The gray wings are uselessly leaden. The hind foot is raised but not flexed, the front foot is planted and the knee bent for forward motion, but Gabriel tips backwards. He merely holds the struggling Jacob in place. No, then I understood. This is the moment when the angel, still poised to wrestle, looks into the nothingness, accepts defeat, goes slack, and teeters under the weight of those ridiculous wings. Jacob still fights with all his might. He has not yet realized that he has pushed the angel away from, at least, the picture's center line. Or the son of Isaac cannot believe his victory. I marveled at the painting. Its time moves from left to right. How beautiful to capture the body so, in the flicker between movements. Jacob's form is Delacroix's technical miracle. The angel is the intellectual triumph, even if its execution is less compelling. Jacob is the one we want to watch. My mother had read me this story once, decades before, in a book of biblical tales for children she had brought from Poland. She translated and summarized out loud, and I studied the lurid, lovely picture. I remembered the phrase, "the angel touched Jacob in the hollow of his thigh." It was very mysterious to me, but it was one of the few phrases that my mother translated identically each time. Then I looked up to find Rose beside me. Rose. Drops of water stood out, silvery, against her blue coat. The face, so often imagined, showed me its changes. I said, "You've grown younger." There was a shadow between her brows, a darkening under her eyes, yet she was more girlish than I had seen her look. Or, if she had aged, it had only made her more beautiful. It was all I could do not to clutch her to me. I had not, in the dim light with my eyes playing tricks, realized how closely her hair was cropped. "And you older," one hopes. I saw in Rose's hand that she had bought a box of candles from the church. I detected the honeysuckle scent that still made me dizzy. My hands trembled. "You've seen the gallery," she said, and it was not a question. I nodded. "What of Bertrand?" I shook my head, and she said nothing more as she followed me out.